Once a month, we are joined by Amy Bethge, who is the Director of Health at the Housatonic Valley Health District. And this month, the month of May, is Mental Health Awareness Month. And thank you for coming by to talk about this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
I've noticed that your website has a lot of interesting material on that this month, or your newsletter as well. Talk about raising awareness about mental health, reducing stigmas, encouraging individuals to seek support. All of these are very difficult things. So maybe you could give everyone an idea of how you might do this in a fashion that people will actually listen to you and pay attention.
Mental health is huge. Just like physical health, it can affect everything from how we think about things to how we cope with stress, build relationships, make decisions in our day-to-day lives. And it can really impact individuals across every age group. So from young children and adolescents to folks who were adult age and then our older adults as well. And what we really want to focus on, because historically mental health has been very stigmatized, I think these days it's people are getting more comfortable talking about it and having some mental health conversations. But what we want to ensure everyone is aware of that mental health conditions are common, treatable, and absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. One of the biggest barriers, like I mentioned, really is that stigma. Which is why sometimes open conversations with our family members, sometimes in the workplace, or with schools and in our communities, that's why it's so important that we continue to have these conversations so we continue over time to really reduce that stigma.
Years back, we used to have the Housatonic Center for Mental Health. That unfortunately disappeared on us. I was wondering if you might give some pointers as to where people up in this area will find and seek out this mental health.
Sure. So access to care is huge. And unfortunately, access to mental health care continues to be an issue that we face as a nation. What I would say, there are probably two ways that I would recommend going about getting access to treatment. One is going to your primary care provider. It's really important that we're all doing our annual physicals, our annual wellness checks with our doctors. And what will happen is when you do that annual visit with your doctor, they actually will often screen you for some mental health concerns like anxiety and depression. Some folks can be maybe a little bit taken aback by these surveys, but they are common and they are asked of everyone. And we want to make sure that we're answering honestly. If when you're having a conversation with your provider and you're completing this survey, things like depression, anxiety, or any other type of maybe sleep issues or other type of mental health concerns may come out, your primary care physician will be able to refer you to a mental health care provider in your area that you can start a relationship with and maybe get a little bit more in depth about talking about some of your mental health concerns. I would also recommend visiting the website, as we do have some resources like SAMHSA, which is the Center for Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services for the nation. And there are some other resources in there that folks can either reach out to, again, get that access to care or just read about in their spare time so they can educate themselves a little bit more and learn about different types of mental health concerns that either they may be struggling with or that a family member may be struggling with as well.
Mental health and substance abuse, or poor mental health and substance abuse, almost go hand in hand.
Unfortunately, mental health can be a big driver towards substance abuse and misuse, and the reverse is true as well. Sometimes when, unfortunately, we're misusing substances, our mental health can be affected. So I would recommend if you're suffering from either of these issues individually, or if there may be some comorbidities where you're suffering from both of these issues together, again, SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration website is a great resource, as is NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. These are both great websites, in addition to, as I mentioned, talking to your primary care provider.
What direction might somebody take if they go to their primary health care physician and they can't get an appointment set up for, let's say, 6 or maybe 8 months? Is there a direction people could go? Because, mental health problems are not going to wait 6 to 8 months.
That's very true. And I have to say, one of the big benefits of us moving forward and having some technological advancements as a society is that there are many different ways to access mental health treatment. Some folks participate in things like virtual therapy sessions, they have one-on-one therapy, they also have group therapy. So there are many virtual options that either, again, your primary care provider can point you to. Or if you just take a look online, you can typically find a pretty well-vetted resource for some online assistance.
The evolution, if you will, of online doctoring, both mental health and actual physical doctoring, is growing in this country. I noticed that Amazon, for example, is now offering doctoring services.
Something I can say about Amazon is that they do offer both telehealth and prescription services. So if ultimately your mental health condition, you would benefit from some different types of prescriptions, that's something you can typically obtain through Amazon, and sometimes they can mail your prescription right to your home as well.
So your mental health provider could potentially be online as well as the medications that might be recommended for you.
Exactly. So that's great. Receiving mental health care without leaving the house was just not a reality of even probably 10 or so years ago, certainly 20 years ago. And now it's becoming more and more of a useful tool for many people when we're talking about working on our mental health.
When you're in small towns, and I know when we used to have the centers here, unfortunately, they're in places where people might see you. And I know it sounds kind of odd to be saying, well, what difference does it make? You know, a lot of people feel, as we were talking, uncomfortable about the idea that someone would see them going into a center. So the online and private in-home can be a really big advantage to helping to resolve some of the mental health issues out there.
Definitely. It can be a great support for some of that stigma that we discussed. And also, unfortunately, when people are suffering from things like depression or other types of issues, it may be difficult to motivate themselves to leave the home. So having that resource that they can access right from, their home computer or even their home, cell phone, if they have internet on their phone, as many of us do these days, can be a really, really useful tool for them.
Now, a lot of folks will say, I don't want to take medications for this. I don't believe in medications because that's just another addiction or whatever. Say you're getting a pill for helping with your depression. Are there other alternatives or sources that people can find if they really don't want to go the medicinal route?
Certainly. So there are many different types of treatment. There's talk therapy, there's something called CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And something that's really great is when you find a good mental health provider, they have that clinical knowledge to meet you where you are. So if you're someone who's just saying, I don't feel as though prescription medication is the right route for me, they'll find another treatment methodology that may help you. Or if it's maybe something that you're open to and you feel like it is something that's right for you, they can help you go a prescription medication route as well.
I'm talking with Amy Beth G, who is with the Housatonic Valley Health District. She talks with us each month here. Happens that we're talking in May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. We've covered some of the topics that are involved with that. If you want to learn more, you can visit their website, which is hvhdct.gov. While I'm thinking of it, I noticed on your newsletter this month that you have an article entitled Connecticut Scientists Seeing Unseasonably High Disconcerting Tick Activity. It wasn't that long ago I was talking with one of the people at the Carey Institute over in New York State about multiple pathogens that these can carry. What is going on with the high tick activity?
So unfortunately, it seems like this is what we're seeing year over year. There's just more and more tick population. They're becoming more resilient. They're lasting through the winter, and we're seeing more tick-borne disease. Our concern has kind of expanded over the last couple of years. 5, 10 years ago, again, people were always concerned about Lyme disease. Now we're learning more about different types of illness like powassan, and different types of tick-borne disease that can impact humans and can cause really negative health outcomes. So I just want to encourage everyone to educate themselves, to always do tick checks, So we encourage people to go outside. We want to be outdoors when the weather is nice and warm. But when you come back inside, always make sure you're checking your body for ticks. You're removing any clothes that you wore when you were outdoors, and you're putting them right in the laundry so there aren't any ticks that maybe attach themselves to your clothing that can then get on your skin. And you're checking your pets as well. Doing those regular tick checks can be very, very helpful in decreasing your likelihood of getting a tick-borne disease.
Yeah, the sooner you get them out of your skin, the better off you are. You can get ticks simply by walking in your yard. Even the most manicured yard can have ticks in it.
You can, very true. A good tip is to keep your grass short. But even so, that doesn't eliminate your risk. And in Connecticut, unfortunately, we are at a high risk of encountering ticks just because of where we are.
As you said before, check, check, check. When you're outside, you come in, check for ticks. Again, we've been talking with Amy Bethge for about Mental Health Awareness Month. She is Director of Health at Housatonic Valley Health District. You can reach her through the website, hvhdct.gov. If you have things to talk about, things to look for, again, go to the website. And we thank you, Amy, for joining us each month.
Thanks so much, Mike, for having me.